It's time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. He's the editor and publisher of the Timberjay newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Another week has flown by, Marshall. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, happy to be here, Heidi.
And I'm assuming you guys had some pretty, not record low temperatures, but pretty cold for the for this winter, right?
Yes, Thursday morning, I know I checked the thermometer down in the swamp behind our house where I keep my regular max min thermometer, and it was 37 below.
All right. Well, it's going to warm up a little bit this weekend. So let's talk about some of the news you guys have been covering. Last week, we talked about the excitement surrounding Ely Winterfest again, but some kind of troubling news came out of the Winterfest.
Yeah, we actually had some vandalism there, a fairly extensive vandalism. And that was at Whiteside Park, where, of course, they have the snow sculptures, and it's kind of the headquarters for the whole winter festival. Somebody was there on late Thursday night, the day before, you know, the Winterfest really kicked off last Friday, and they had used spray paint to spray graffiti on some of the snow sculptures. They also sprayed graffiti on a new warming tent, a canvas warming tent that the Winterfest had purchased to have a nice location for people to warm up a little bit. And so that was frustrating. They also destroyed or damaged some of the sculptures, which was very frustrating. I think most sad was work that a group of students had done on a snow sculpture of a wolf. And we had talked about this class last week on the radio. You know, they had done a nice job on this wolf, and then apparently that was badly damaged by either a vandal or vandals. We don't really know for sure. The case is under investigation by the Ely Police Department, but, you know, there aren't really any security cameras out, you know, in Whiteside Park. So, and that probably would have been the only really good way that you might be able to identify somebody if you could, you know, have some video of them. So at this point, it's not clear they have any leads. The good news is that a lot of the work on the sculptures had just kind of gotten underway. So, you know, the various artists were able to come in and make a few adjustments here and there to get the graffiti off. The stuff that was damaged, they're just make and do. And so when people get up there, they really won't see any sign of the vandalism that was done. It's been repaired, so there's still lots of great snow sculptures for people to come up and take a look at. And it sounds like you mentioned, the weather's supposed to warm up a little this weekend, so might be the perfect time to make a drive up to Ely.
Sounds great. Well, let's talk about another story you've been covering. We have heard the continuing story as the Tower City Council is kind of getting back on track and with the new people there, but there's a new investigation having to do with the, is he the ambulance driver?
The ambulance supervisor, fire chief, yes.
Okay.
And he has been the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's an individual who had been and remains very close to the former clerk treasurer who was, discharged and is currently being criminally prosecuted here in St. Louis County. And there have been a number of issues, complaints about his conduct in recent months, including complaints that he was gender biased, and also just that he was unprofessional in his language, including swearing at people. And so those are some of the things that are being investigated. There's also just actions that he's taken that don't appear to have been authorized. And, you know, also there's performance concerns, of course. He had implemented a new model, essentially, business model for the ambulance service, just kind of minimal investigation. And it's created certainly some financial challenges for the ambulance service and the city. And so now, you know, some of those things are starting to be questioned by the new city council as they're trying to get the city back on track. You know, and they've made some progress certainly over the past year, but it's been kind of a struggle. And I think there's certainly the feeling that this other individual, the ambulance director, his name is Steve Altenberg, may be continuing to contribute to some of those issues. And you know, and the city really does have to simply address, given the number of complaints, they do have to have an obligation to investigate those. So that's what they're doing now. They hope to have an investigation. It got underway right away. They authorized it on Monday, and by Wednesday there was an investigator at City Hall who was interviewing people. So they're expecting to have a report completed probably by next week. So they might take action on this fairly soon.
Okay. The next couple of stories you've been covering have to do with copper nickel mining. First, the Minnesota Chippewa tribe kind of came out this week in support of legislation to extend the boundaries having to do with copper nickel mining and where they might do that. Can you tell us a little bit more about this? And is that surprising?
Sure. Well, it's perhaps a little bit surprising. I mean, some of the Chippewa bands in Minnesota have been pretty outspoken. I think Fond du Lac has certainly been on this issue, as well as the Grand Portage Band. But, you know, a lot of the other bands have not been outspoken on this. So the fact that the entire Minnesota Chippewa tribe decided to take a position on this, as far as I'm aware, it's the first time they've done that, you know, as a group. So it was a fairly significant development, which is why we reported on it. And what they're basically doing is they've written a letter to members of Congress in support of a bill that was introduced by 4th District Congresswoman Betty McCollum. And essentially what that would be to expand the mining protection buffer zone around the boundary waters. In portions of the boundary waters, you know, there's a mining protection area. It's not in the wilderness, but it you know, prohibits mining near the wilderness for, you know, exactly the kind of reasons that people are concerned about with this Twin Metals project, because mining that happens upstream of the wilderness could impact water quality. And so, you know, there's been this push to extend that into this area where Twin Metals has been exploring and wants to build an underground mine. And the reason that area wasn't included originally in the mining protection area was because there were two existing mineral leases, federal mineral leases, in that area that dated back to 1966. And those are the mineral leases that were recently renewed by the Trump administration and now, of course, are being fought in court. But in the meantime, you know, if Congress was able to pass, you know, legislation, you know, to protect that property, that would be another way to, I guess, address that issue, and that would just take away those mineral leases, essentially.
And an update on the PolyMet and the DNR. They filed petitions this week. What did they file for?
Yeah, well, they're asking the Minnesota Supreme Court to take a second look at, or take a first look, I guess, for the Supreme Court, at the Court of Appeals decision, which we talked about here a few weeks ago, in which the Court of Appeals had reversed some permits that that the DNR had issued. There was a permit to mine and then two dam safety permits. That was a fairly significant blow to both the DNR and to PolyMet. You know, what the Court of Appeals had indicated was that some of the issues and questions that in existence over those permits and some issues that that critics feel weren't adequately addressed, and the court said those issues should go before an administrative law judge in what's called a contested case hearing. And those can be quite involved and lengthy, but, you know, probably not as lengthy as going through Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. You know, so obviously there's a little bit of a risk here, I think, for both the DNR and PolyMet, but particularly PolyMet, because, you know, depending on how this turns out, this could just add to the delay for PolyMet. They could have gone through the contested case hearing and they, you know, might have gotten what they wanted out of that, whereas now, you know, they could take this to the Supreme Court if the Supreme Court decides to hear it, you know, which I'm thinking they probably will, given that this is a pretty consequential decision, you know, and you've got a state agency that wants to get this clarified. So my guess is the Supreme Court will hear it, but if they were to decide, you know, in favor of the critics of the mine and the permits, you know, that's just going to add further delay because, you know, by the time you get a case before the Supreme Court, well, it's months down the line, and then the court doesn't really have any set time in which it has to issue a ruling. So, you know, it could easily take a year, possibly more, to get a ruling from the Supreme Court on this. At a minimum, this is going to, you know, continue to push things further down the road for this project. And then, of course, I should mention at the same time, you know, there's another permit, the water discharge permit, which was issued by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, And that, of course, is under investigation by Federal Office of Inspector General, by the Minnesota Legislative Auditor, and also by a district court in Ramsey County, which had some hearings on that just a couple of weeks ago. So we're waiting for a decision there as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of permits right now that are sort of up in the air for this project.
And is that the one that had to do with the comments?
Right, the effort, apparent effort by the MPCA to discourage comments, or written comments anyway, from the EPA. Yep.
Okay. Before we go, let's talk a little bit. They changed the date of the State Nordic Ski Meet due to coal, but it's going on today. Are there any teams from your area there?
There certainly are. The Ely Nordic Ski Team, which has, you know, traditionally been a very strong contender, both the boys and girls teams will be competing today at that state tournament, which is at Giants Ridge. And the boys came in first and in the sectional competition, and the girls came in second in that. And the top two teams go on to state competition. And we're going to be watching, you know, both the teams' performances as well as Jasper Johnston, who is just an incredible skier for Ely. I mean, he's come in first on just about every race he has competed in this year. He's really an outstanding skier, and he certainly is a contender, I would think, to be in the top five, you know, in state competition. So we'll be watching that with great interest. And he's still a junior, so he could get better next year.
Sounds great. That's Marshall Hellenberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Marshall, thanks so much. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
Feel that summer rain, it's in your face again.